Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. For those who were in New York this week, you will know that the city was tied up. Ministers, leading ministers from all over the world, assembling at the United Nations, and Ireland made its own contribution in the person of a good friend of mine for many a long year. And so Minister for Foreign Affairs, Charlie Flanagan, you're very welcome indeed to New York again.
Adrian, can I say thank you very much? Always very much appreciate a visit to New York in my capacity as Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade. This is the fifth occasion I've been to New York in a short period of time. I believe the very close and positive and warm connections between Ireland and New York are evident, and I'm anxious to ensure that I continue. Can I just say to you a word of congratulations on my part, because I think this is the first year in 65 years that your County Mayo is still in the All-Ireland, and you have an opportunity to break that duck. I know there's great excitement back home, and I want to wish you well in that regard.
Well, I thank you very much. Well, you do realize, Minister, we're going to be so much more difficult to deal with after the win. We'd only, we've played second fiddle for long enough. However, let me ask you about the United Nations and the significance of the United Nations and your role this week.
I've had a very busy week here in New York. Started last Sunday on my arrival with a number of meetings, and the bulk of my work has been over at the United Nations. Ireland, is a military non-aligned country. Our reputation and standing is very high in terms of what we do at the United Nations, and we're very much committed to our engagement in the UN. We've been active members now for 61 years. Last year we had the honour and indeed the privilege of co-chairing work on the latest round of our strategic and sustainable development goals. Our ambassador to the UN, David Donoghue, and his team did a really good job. And we now have to implement the 17 aspects of the agreement to ensure that we can bring an end to world poverty, that we can assist in eliminating world hunger, and that we can give to the most vulnerable in communities right across the world, but in particular areas of real and gross disadvantage and poverty and strife in Africa and across Asia. And of course Ireland's strong reputation in that is a legacy of our great missionary work down through the years. I visit schools a lot in my capacity as government minister and public representative in my own constituency of Leash Offaly, but beyond. And I know from school children how proud they are of Ireland's involvement in the United Nations, whether it's helping world poverty, the elimination of hunger, our peacekeepers in Lebanon, in Golan. Again, I've had the opportunity visiting them recently, and right across a range of issues in the UN. Ireland is a candidate for the Security Council, a non-permanent member in 2021-22. And that's an issue that I've been speaking about to a lot of my colleagues. I meet European foreign ministers in Brussels on a monthly basis. I see them all over with me here at the UN, part of the European family, this week. But my concentration has been to engage with colleagues on the international stage, further afield, India, Pakistan, Colombia, Philippines, Australia, New Zealand. So I've had a full-on week here in New York. But of course, I also made time for our diaspora, our community leaders, our business leaders, in order to reinforce the warm links of friendship between this great city of New York and the homeland of Ireland.
You know, a minister this week of literally hundreds of world leaders and ministers, you got the honor of getting the op-ed piece in the Huffington Post, a very significant media outlet here in the United States. And basically, you underlined some of the most pertinent issues, you know, of the day pertaining to Ireland in particular, and obviously Brexit, the British exiting the European Union, is very much on the minds of obviously those living in the UK, those living in Ireland, but a great number of leaders in our own country and those in business and at every level here has more than a passing interest in the fallout from Brexit.
These are really big challenges, and certainly over the last 150 or more years, Ireland has faced some very serious challenges. I was talking to some friends earlier about the Hunger Memorial in Lower Manhattan. I know this is an issue very close to your own heart, and I acknowledge the leadership you have shown in that regard. That's over 150 years ago since our Great Famine. We've had challenges with our independence, we've had our civil war, we've had the birth of our state, we've had very serious economic challenges over the last 5 or 6 years, and now we're faced with an extraordinary challenge, which is the withdrawal of the United Kingdom from the European Union. Ireland was very disappointed with that result. We felt that as a family, the European Union should stick together, should work together on the basis that we're better in numbers, we're stronger in numbers, stressing what we have in common in Europe. However, the British people saw it otherwise and did otherwise. There will be no referendum in Ireland. Ireland remains firmly a strong and positive and active member of the European Union, one of 27. But of course, in the context of these negotiations, which are going to be complex and difficult and lengthy, there are a number of real challenges. And of course, we need to protect our vital and strategic national interest, which is trade. And we have the common travel area with the United Kingdom that we have enjoyed in Ireland since our independence in 1922. And it's important in the context of whatever negotiations take place in terms of trade and commerce and business that this common travel arrangement between Ireland and Britain is retained. It allows for freedom of movement of people between our islands. Many Irish people work in Britain, live in Britain, draw welfare in Britain, and similarly many British citizens enjoy the benefits of living in Ireland. There is a unique situation within the European Union with regard to Northern Ireland, and we've spoken in the past, Adrian, about the importance of the international engagement to our peace process. And again, here in New York, I wish to express my appreciation to the United States of America for the way that they have nourished and fed and encouraged our peace process, in particular Senator George Mitchell, and more recently Senator Gary Hart, had an opportunity of speaking to President Obama about it just last evening. The importance of the American engagement. And of course, one of the great challenges now in the context of the United Kingdom leaving the European Union is that we will be faced with an EU border right across the island of Ireland from Dundalk on the east coast to Donegal and Derry on the west coast. And that, of course, is an invisible border where since the signing of the Good Friday Agreement, people have enjoyed freedom of movement, freedom of association like never before. Over 30,000 people every day cross that border between north and south, between south and north, to work, to go to college, to visit family. And it's important that this be fully protected in the interests of Northern Ireland, and of course in the interest of the island of Ireland.
But also, Minister, you have been underlining the significance of not just the economic turmoil that could happen in the north, but also that peace, and prosperity can only be maintained without, you know, without turmoil. So when you're representing obviously the Republic of Ireland, but you also, and the Irish government has an equal stake in Northern Ireland.
You're absolutely
right.
For
more than one reason.
You're absolutely right, and you're referring, of course, to the historic Good Friday Agreement of 1998, which is the blueprint for peace and stability. And again, that wouldn't have been possible if it weren't for the goodwill and active participation and support of many, many people in the United States of America. That's very much appreciated by the Irish government. And it's important in the context of the withdrawal from the European Union of the United Kingdom that the letter and the spirit of the Good Friday Agreement be fully adhered to. And there are issues that will be of importance here in terms of ensuring that the issue, for example, in terms of freedom of movement, that the Irish government, being co-guarantors of the agreement, that we ensure that nothing occurs in the context of these negotiations that will in any way adversely impact on the Good Friday Agreement. Of course, the negotiations on the part of the UK haven't commenced yet. It's likely that they will early next year. There's a long road to go. There are real challenges ahead. But we have faced many challenges in the past from Dublin and in Ireland, and we look forward to facing this challenge with confidence in the knowledge that we will have the support and the goodwill of the United States of America, that in my deliberations with political leaders here in the States over the last number of months, I have impressed upon them the need to ensure that they remain fully engaged and involved in the peace process in Ireland. I'm confident that that will happen. So this is a challenge that we will face head on, and this is a challenge that I'm confident will ultimately be resolved in the best interests of the people of Ireland.
Minister, I just want to, you know, acknowledge on behalf of many of our listeners, and particularly those in the immigrant centres, not only the great financial contribution that the Irish government has made and continues to make, but also the highest level of cooperation from the consulates, from the embassy. Again, a very, very significant contribution at a time when many would feel that because of our immigration problems, that maybe the significance of Ireland and the Irish could be slipping away. With the cooperation of the Irish government, that is not going to happen.
I've said earlier that my primary engagement in New York this week has been at the United Nations. But I've also found time, and I always do, to ensure that I engage with Irish interests here in the great city of New York, and in particular our immigrants. I was happy earlier this week, along with my colleague Minister of State Joe McHugh from Donegal, to engage with leaders of the Irish community to see how best we can ensure that we continue to support an immigrant community here in New York, the profile of which is changing. And the challenges of which change by way of nature, insofar as many of our diaspora here in the city of New York, they're retired, none of them are getting any younger. There are social issues in terms of maybe isolation, in terms of loneliness, which might seem strange speaking from central Manhattan, but that I understand to be the case. So I'm very pleased that in spite of our economic difficulties and in spite of constraints on our budgets, that the Irish government has kept very much the immigrant support grant intact. And we'll be having our budget the 11th of October, and I'll be speaking to my finance minister, Michael Noonan, and the public expenditure minister, Pascal Donoghue. I will be reporting on my visit. I will be reporting on the great work that the immigrant support organizations do here across the city, the leadership that's been provided at a voluntary level, but also Barbara Jones, who has excelled herself in showing great leadership here in New York City. And I'm satisfied that every cent that the Irish government expends on our communities here in New York is very well spent. And I'm anxious that that will continue, and I'm really pleased to have the opportunity of engaging. I think this is also an important year, Adrian, insofar as it's 2016. And the last time I was here, we were in the process of arranging a commemorative events as part of the decade of centenaries. And this, of course, is perhaps the most important year. We launched it last January in Piray. And I'm delighted to hear from so many members of Irish America here this week how successful it was in terms of the sensitivities being adhered to, in terms of it being a great festival, a great commemoration. Of what it means to be Irish, of Irish heritage, Irish culture, Irish literature, Irish art, Irish storytelling. And I'll be reporting directly to Enda Kenny and my government colleagues that Irish America is as supportive of the homeland and our endeavours as never before. And I always enjoy my visits in that regard. This is a busy week for me. It's a full-on week, but I don't think I'd be doing duty or complying with my constitutional obligations without engaging with our diaspora representatives here in New York. And, of course, I haven't mentioned business and business interests. And we're always very proud in Ireland of the fact that Irish America and the foreign direct investment that we rely on for in excess of 100,000 jobs is very active here in New York and right across the United States. Ireland is a good place in which to do business. American companies like investing in Ireland. They like our workforce. They like our culture. They like our ability to get up and go, our enthusiasm, our education system. And they will continue to invest in Ireland, and we will continue to ensure that these Irish-American concerns and American business results in jobs for our people and assists in our ongoing economic recovery.
Minister, thank you for spending the time with us, and I know that you're on, on a whirl week-long trip here, taking in many aspects and looking out for our people in the United States. Thank you. Thanks.
As always, Adrian, I wish to express my appreciation for you having me on your show, and I wish you continued success and every good health for future years.
Thank you. Thank you. Fancy listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.